Hello, you are listening to Wellness Unfiltered Pro. The information provided in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for independent clinical judgment or personalized patient care. The content is not designed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, nor is it intended to direct patient management decisions.
Welcome to Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Arland Hill, Director of Clinical Education for Biotics Research. Before I introduce our topic and professional panel today, I would like to acknowledge our sponsor, Biotics Research. Family-owned and operated for nearly 50 years, Biotics Research continues to revolutionize the nutritional supplement industry by utilizing the best of science and nature to create high-quality nutritional supplements. With a continued focus on innovation and the use of unique and clinically proven delivery systems such as emulsified nutrients, vegetable culture tableting base, and plant matrix minerals, Biotics Research continues to be a pioneer in the professional nutritional supplement industry. For the last three decades, the interest in probiotics has continued to grow. Today, we will explore this category. Our understanding of probiotics has greatly shifted during this time frame. From acceptance and legitimization as a therapeutic option for gastrointestinal dysfunction to now being recognized as a modulator of the multitude of gut axes, probiotics have established themselves as a primary care option. Despite this impressive evolution, much discourse remains about the appropriate applications, dosages, and strains. From the more is better mindset, to now acknowledging that this does not match experimental outcomes, from shotgun strategies aimed at blasting countless strains to targeted applications matched to case use, our goal today is to share with you the most up-to-date understanding of probiotics as we introduce you to the Biotics Research probiotic options. But before we delve into this conversation, allow me to introduce the professionals joining me today. First, Joe Bushes. Joe Bushes, a licensed dietitian, nutritionist and CCN, has been using Biotics products clinically for over 40 years. He is also the host of a video magazine called The Tuesday Minute. Also with us is Daniel Benning. Daniel is an experienced practitioner and functional medicine consultant that has been with Biotics Research for over 25 years covering Arizona and New Mexico. We will begin our discussion today with a high-level look at probiotics. As we move forward, we will begin to take a more targeted, specific approach. Building on the notion of a healthy commensal microbiota as a foundation to health, the first product we will review today fits this model. Broad in nature and complete in thought, BioDoff 7 Plus has been a long trusted part of many practitioners' protocols for restoring gut health. As our launching point, let's take a closer look at this product. BioDoff 7 Plus is a blend of both probiotics and prebiotics. And it would probably make sense that in starting our conversation here, we should define exactly what we mean by these terms. When we think about a probiotic, even though we all have an understanding of what that is, from a pure definition standpoint, we have to make sure that a couple of boxes get checked when we're looking at a probiotic. It has to be a viable preparation. It has to be defined microorganisms. They have to be in sufficient numbers, and it has to be a group of organisms that are going to concur benefit to the host. And typically, when you're thinking about a probiotic, especially a broad nature probiotic, one of the things that you're looking to try to achieve is alteration of the overall microbial landscape. And when this occurs, there are a couple of benefits that are imparted to the host. So, for example, we see things like improved digestion, improved enzymatic activity, and enzymatic activity not simply at the pancreatic level, but also at the brush border level. Another area that we see benefit that many will appreciate and try to tap into is immune system modulation, increasing beneficial anaerobes. And as we think about where the anaerobic organisms predominate at, that's going to be in the large intestine. That's where the greatest number of microorganisms throughout the gastrointestinal tract reside at. The mouth, the large intestine harbor the greatest populations of organisms. Although when we look at the classifications of these organisms in these areas, we will see differences with the organisms in the upper GI tract being more aerobic, whereas the organisms in the lower GI tract being more anaerobic. We also would anticipate that as we alter the microbial landscape, we want to see a decrease in dysbiosis. We want to stimulate phagocytosis, so being very specific in how these organisms are supporting immune function, and even down to the level of soothing the overall gastric mucosa. If we think about a lot of times in past podcasts, we've talked about the application of L-glutamine. We've talked about products like GI Resolve and ImmunoGG-SBI as all being tools used towards healing the gut lining. But we also want to reflect back that this is equally a role that the probiotics serve as well. And when we think about traditional strains, you will see some very traditional, well-established strains in BioDOF 7+. Lactobacillus strains, Bifidobacterium, some Streptococcus thermophilus in here. These are strains that have proven their use. They've been able to show consistent outcomes over time. And I'll highlight one of these specifically, which is Lactobacillus plantarum. This is an organism that you'll hear us talk about through this podcast in other products. But Lactobacillus plantarum is a very hardy organism. It's an organism that is able to withstand antibiotic pressure. It's an organism that can survive the harsh reality of the small intestine. It's going to, from a utility standpoint, be able to decrease translocation. So when we think about, when you look at actually what's going wrong in a leaky gut scenario, this is translocation playing out. It's things moving from the lumen of the GI tract past the intestinal barrier that is not being checked by the tight junctions throughout the GI tract. And so that would be translocation. Lactobacillus plantarum directly affects that. It's also going to improve mucosal status. So we have a lot of talk now around Akkermansia mucinophilia, certainly a very beneficial organism. But worth noting here simply that Akkermansia mucinophilia is not the only organism that affects the mucosa. We also see that when you begin to think outside of the GI tract and the roles, for example, the gut-hepatic axes here, the axis, Lactobacillus plantarum is an organism that has been shown to directly improve hepatic function. It is going to enhance local immune function as well. And with that, you're going to see a reduction in inflammation. But if you'll reflect back to where I started this conversation around BioDOF 7+, I did mention that the probiotics were only a part of the formulation. That means that we still need to discuss prebiotics. And prebiotics, if we look to define those, of course, these are beneficial for GI health, but these are going to be non-digestible food ingredients that beneficially affect the host as well. So these are, just in a very generic way of thinking about these are an ideal food source for the probiotics. It gives the probiotics something to work off of. It stimulates their growth and activity, which you think about that differently. This is not simply just trying to increase quantity. This is also an increase in the quality of those organisms and what they're able to accomplish. You'll find in this particular product, you've got inulin. There's arabinogalactans. These are going to increase anaerobes, which I alluded to earlier. In the large intestine, they decrease organisms like Clostridia, which is certainly in the pathogenic category there. And then you also get marshmallow root in here, which has the dual benefit of not just acting as a prebiotic, but also serves to alleviate local irritation as well. Now, as we go forward in this conversation, we're going to talk more about specific targeted applications. But BioDOF 7+, of all the products that we're going to discuss today, is really the product that doesn't necessarily have to be applied in that framework. BioDOF 7+ can be a product that, if a practitioner is looking for a preventative, a prophylactic, a maintenance, however you prefer to say that type of application, BioDOF 7+ is the best product to reach for as a probiotic tier. But then there are also options of leaning more in towards a therapeutic direction, where if we think about a post-antibiotic application, we'll talk about Saccharomyces boulardii towards the end of the conversation today, but maybe someone is looking for a product or a group of bacterial probiotics as an adjunct to Saccharomyces boulardii in that post-antibiotic phase. Biodof 7 Plus fits very nicely into that role. Your typical dosing regimens here are going to be simply 1 to 2 capsules per day. Tends to be a very effective dose on that. But again, that's the high level of probiotics for the conversation. Where we want to go from here is beginning to niche out where probiotics fit in, because that is really, if we step back and look at the total progression of our understanding of probiotics, it really is starting to lean towards more case-specific applications. And probably one of the best roles, or one of the best products that we have that originally launched us into this direction and helped our overall understanding at Biotics, is Biodof 3GI. And so, Daniel, I'm going to turn this over to you to talk about that particular product.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Hill, for that foundation to probiotics. And in even looking at Biodof 7, that's kind of how you mentioned it, kind of that foundational product. But then we started to get more specific, and I'm seeing the industry go more target specific that way. And we came out with Biodof 3GI. And in some cases, we're finding that less is more. And this was one of the cases. This was a product designed for more of the hypersensitive GI, using it in IBS cases, using it in stress-induced diarrhea cases, and I'll mention a little study there, using it in SIBO as well, when we have cleaned up the SIBO and what are we reintroducing at a lower level. Because hearing feedback from the clinicians and the doctors out there, some of these patients can't handle a high volume, high billion count probiotic. They get more irritated. And that's where we came in with this product. It's very strain specific, as I was mentioning, seeing, you know, from many years ago, as we know, it was, here's a probiotic and see how it, some lactobacillus. But now the industry is getting very targeted specific, and targeted specific with really impressive little studies. So Biodof 3GI is, if you think of the three in there, is three strains, but also a 3 billion count per capsule. So you'll see the difference in the volume with this product. It is, as you mentioned earlier, a source of Lactobacillus plantarum in two different species of it. And then there's Pedococcus in there as well. So it's very strain specific. The beauty of this is what was introduced to us is the studies that were involved here. And it has very targeted, as you mentioned, mechanisms of action with these strains. Production of short-chain fatty acids was one of the outcomes here. Now, we know the importance of this. We could talk about butyrate for another several hours. That's my, you know, foundational gut health product. But I always say, when we, you know, introduced antibiotics in McDonald's, we took butyrate production out of the cycle, because butyrate is produced from fiber and probiotics. And when people run butyrate GI panels, people are often low in butyrate, and butyrate is so important. And this is not to make this a butyrate lecture, but to show the importance of these probiotics to get reintroduced to help these levels. And this Biodof 3GI helped increase short-chain fatty acids, which are anti-inflammatory and very healthy for the GI. You know, butyrate is your primary fuel for your colonocytes to build a healthy colon. So the importance of the right probiotics. This blend also showed microflora balancing, meaning it inhibited gram-negative bacteria. So you can think of E. coli or salmonella. So if you have somebody that's had a food poisoning of some level, as you were mentioning, Saccharomyces boulardii would be one of my top ones, but this would also be a nice one to go in as a mild probiotic to reestablish. In an IBS study, we found out, as I said earlier on, that less is more, that taking several of these capsules did not produce any better of an outcome. And in fact, they looked at quality of life scores in a 6-week cycle, and they compared high dose to low dose use of Biodof 3GI, And the high dose category did not do any better. Actually, the low dose, one capsule a day, did much better. Another application for this product is stress-induced diarrhea. I'm seeing this more and more, and I'm seeing this more in the teenage population with societal trends. And so in this study, they showed a shift in stress-induced diarrhea at one capsule a day. At the two-week mark, it really leveled out. And at the four-week mark, it was a great, great improvement in stress-induced diarrhea. I'm sure our doctors and clinicians listening in see these patients, since we are in a somewhat sympathetic dominant society. So again, BioDoc 3GI, clinically validated multi-species formula, three species, 3 billion count. Therapeutic dose at just one capsule a day, totally shelf stable. This does not need to be refrigerated. So as we wrap this one up, reduces that GI hypersensitivity. And I know we have those patients. So wanted to touch base on that one tonight. This has become a very popular, very successful probiotic in our line.
Yeah, no doubt, Daniel. We've had this in the line for a little over 3 years now, and it has certainly become a practitioner favorite because it's just a workhorse. And when you think about, you can get all of this done with one capsule per day, it's hard to beat that combination. I also want to draw attention to something that I mentioned with BioDoff 7 Plus as it relates to BioDoff 3GI. You'll recall that I mentioned Lactobacillus plantarum being such a hardy organism. Well, Daniel mentioned that there are three different strains in this product. Two of the three strains that are in BioDoff 3GI are Lactobacillus plantarum. And then the third is a pediococcal strain, which some practitioners may not have experimented with that in their practice. But as we were alluding to here, it certainly serves the role. I want to transition over to now looking at BioDoff Fem. And as you might guess with the name on this, this is a female-oriented product. This is the most recent addition to our probiotic line, but this is one that the feedback on this has been quite a bit more robust from practitioners than we were anticipating when we launched this. We felt like this was certainly going to be a solid product for the reasons that I'll share with you coming up here, but feedback from practitioners and the speed at which BioDoff Fem provides results has been beyond what our expectations were. Think about this as a broad support for women's gastrointestinal and vaginal health. Now, I do, as I set this up, I do want you to think gastrointestinal and vaginal. But as I'm going to share with you as we go through this, that's not where you want to limit your thought to. This is a much broader application product than that for females. And it's a product that is validated by two clinically validated probiotic formulations. So you've got these combination of probiotics, which is known as a start. We'll detail that here in a minute. And then you've got another one known as Clepius. And a start has a bit more affinity for vaginal health. Clepius has a bit more affinity for gastrointestinal health, but there's going to be some overlapping mechanisms here, certainly. And something to also keep in mind when we talk about female health and you think about vaginal health and gastrointestinal health, those are very strong predictors of overall health quality. They're strong predictors. You know, we get into these conversations today about longevity and quality of life, and being able to have a GI and a vaginal centric focus for females, that is a direct reflection on what the trajectory of their health is likely to look like. Species that we're talking about here as a part of this product, they're going to have a protective, they're going to help form a protective layer against pathogenic organisms that tend to harbor and manifest in these environments. These, if you think about the vaginal and GI environments, and you could even put the urinary system in here as well, these are environments that are opportune for pathogenic organisms. They fit a lot of the criteria that are necessary for organisms, microorganisms to proliferate. There's moisture available. There's going to be a constant source of energy. You're going to have the warmth, if you will, the body temperature. So these are the things that can allow pathogens to begin to proliferate. So we need to have a consistent establishment of a defense force. And in this case, the defense force being these probiotics. They're also, these organisms that we're going to discuss do a very good job of adhering to the epithelial cells. And when you can have the right organisms adhering to epithelial cells, that means that you don't create the opportunity for the wrong dysbiotic pathogenic organisms to take that space up. The other thing that I will say in that same context in regards to acting as a defense force, if you will, is that these probiotics also produce what are called antimicrobial peptides and bacteriorosins. These are simply endogenous antibiotics, if you want to think about it that way. They are going to inhibit the growth of species that otherwise shouldn't be there. And as that happens, this is where you get the downregulation in inflammatory cytokines. You get the increase in the short chain fatty acids. Of course, butyrate's the one that we often like to point to on that. And you're going to get activation of the immune cells. So these are the type of actions that we want to see from probiotic species. Now, let's begin by talking about Astarte. Remember, Astarte and Clepeus are the two formulations that make up BioDofem. When we look at Astarte is going to be a combination of four lactobacillus strains. These four strains were not just randomly picked. These were selected out of 127 possible candidates. And so there was a lot of due diligence that took place at the outset to make sure that the four strains that were ultimately a part of Astarte are actually going to yield therapeutic outcomes, are actually going to help change the profile of the microbes in the vaginal cavity as well as in the GI tract. And here's where you see the third component of this come into play, which is looking at the urinary system, because with Astarte, there's also a lower risk of dysbiosis in the urogenital area. You'll see less E. coli, you'll see less candida, and this is a byproduct of an increase in hydrogen peroxide and lactic acid production. Those are important because both of those are going to inhibit colonization of these dysbiotic organisms. And if that doesn't happen, that's where you get into vaginal dysbiosis. And vaginal dysbiosis can also be reframed as a depletion of the lactobacillus strain. So you can see lactobacillus as a category is very important in these areas that we're talking about in regards, and let's just be specific here for a moment in regards to vaginal health. When a female is dealing with vaginal discharge, when there's itchiness and other symptoms there, that is an indication that the proper lactobacillus species, the ideal lactobacillus species, are not proliferating in that environment. And this is where you get an increase in these bacterial biofilms. They become more resistant to antibiotic exposure, and they just don't, these dysbiotic states become more entrenched. Well, Astarte has the capacity to offset a lot of this. And part of the reason that it does is because it's going to help with promoting more of a lasting colonization. So when these lactobacillus strains are present that make up Astarte, you'll find that the colonization of the commensal species becomes far more predominant. And part of that is a byproduct of these lactobacillus strains being bile salt and acid tolerant. So meaning that when someone takes these orally, they're going to be able to get through the stomach and the upper small intestine. They can function in both aerobic and anaerobic environments. So that means that throughout the entirety of the GI tract, they're going to be operational. And they've just been directly correlated, not with just vaginal improvements, but also with GI improvements. But here's what's worth noting in this is that Clepeus was the was the ingredient, the formulation here that we're really leaning heavily on as it relates to GI health for females. Because we know that gas, bloating, discomfort, changes in bowel habits, those can accompany these types of scenarios of dysbiosis as well. And Clepeus is going to be a specific strain of Lactobacillus plantarum. Now, here again, this is a third product. We've talked three products so far, and you've seen these plantarum species show up in all three of these. Now, I do want to make a point that there has been a name change as it relates to Lactobacillus plantarum, and it's on the Lactobacillus component to this, actually. This product or this ingredient in Lactobacillus, if you see this termed as Lactiplantibacillus, that is the same organism. The nomenclature around this has just begun to shift. So I just wanted to make you aware of that update that's coming through the literature right now. But as it relates to Clepeus, this is going to support the integrity of the intestinal barrier. It improves the tight junction. It's doing it in part by an increase in the short chain fatty acids. And you'll also find that this Lactobacillus plantarum or Lactiplantibacillus plantarum has an efficiency in being able to adhere to the intestinal epithelial cells and prevent adherence from dysbiotic or pathogenic organisms. So female patients truly benefit in many ways from this product, and they do it in a very short time frame. Many of the studies around this product have been based in an 8-week time frame showing significant improvements, but real world feedback shows that many times this isn't that the outcomes are accelerated even beyond that. This product also fits the dosing strategy that we talked about with BioDoff 3GI, where BioDoff Fem, it is equally effective at lower dosages, lower dose application. So one capsule per day, that's going to meet the objective for patients, and continuing to push the dose up just isn't going to be necessary. We've also, as we've been talking with practitioners that have introduced this product, we've also found that there are many off-label uses being proposed by practitioners with this product. You know, documentation and data from the literature certainly limits what we can substantiate and what we can support, but we see practitioners being very open-minded and using this product in some very interesting ways and getting positive outcomes with it. So, Daniel, that really takes us through the central and lower GI tract, but we need to bounce back up to the more proximal GI tract and think more along the lines of the mouth, the upper airways, the ear, nose, and throat. And so for that, take us into children's and adult ENT Pro.
Yeah, thank you, doctor. I mean, this is a product that I think doesn't get talked about enough. And I love to bring this to the table here. You know, in my phone, I get Medscape, and maybe you like that source or maybe you don't for kind of news. But it was interesting. It says, it just last week, how the future of medicine will revolve around our gut. And I think many of us, you know, are aware of that for quite some time, as long as we've all been involved in this industry. But like you were saying, Dr. Hill, you know, let's go back to up top. You know, I call it the port of entry. You know, the sinuses, the oral cavity of how are we getting the bugs in the system? And how strong is that ear, nose, and throat immune system? That's where adult ENT Pro and children's ENT Pro were developed. And I would love to touch base on a couple of stories, because I think stories and visuals can really help with application. And I'm going to give you two quick stories. There's a young lady in Arizona here who was having really, really bad sinus issues. And through a CT scan, a 2-centimeter fungal infection blob, as she said, was in her left sinus and is actually growing through and pressing on her optic nerve. She was losing vision. And so they had to do surgery to get that out. But this is the product of choice for cases like this. It's a sublingual probiotic, and we'll get into the strains, but I'm trying to give you the foundation of where application is here. So she started using this product as an immune component for the sinus activity, the sinuses, ear, nose, and throat area. Another case in Arizona here, and if you follow, like in the 1990s, Mayo Clinic did a study on valley fever, which is really big. It's a fungal infection in our soil here in Arizona, and found that a lot of chronic sinusitis was actually valley fever, which is a fungus. Well, this case was a gentleman who was having chronic sinus issues forever, but not really put a positive, you know, diagnosis on it. And he was at the dentist for a panoramic x-ray of his teeth and found that both sinus pockets in the sinus area were absolutely full of fungal infection. And so this individual went on the adult ENT Pro, and that's the first time that stuff started to move out of these sinus pockets and get out of his system. So let's share why this product works so well. First off, as we've talked about, ENT stands for ear, nose, and throat. It's a lozenge. You're only doing, as a preventative, one or two per day. But if there's something active, you could go a little bit higher. We'll talk about maybe why not too much in this case. But it has a very strong adhesion to the mucosal lining, and it boosts your immune response up here. As I said, the port of entry. You know, we're on airplanes, we're traveling, our kids are in school around all these other kids. How are things being passed around? This is a great place to think about for boosting the immune system. So what is adult and children's ENT Pro? The primary foundation is two probiotic strains, Lactobacillus delbrechii and Lactobacillus rhamnosus. But again, as we've talked about through this whole podcast, here goes Lactobacillus plantarum again, is in this blend, along with Bifidobacterium in two different species. There are over 40 clinical studies with this product. And here's a line from one of the studies. It says the strains of L. Lactobacillus delbrechii and Lactobacillus rhamnosus, as well as the other combination we talked about, were found to demonstrate high levels of antagonistic activity towards the microbes most frequently found in chronic and recurring ENT infections. If that doesn't give you a reason to put this into your arsenal of, in your toolbox to be aware of, I know we've all seen the results with this product. The difference between the two is in the adult version, you're getting 6 billion in a lozenge with lysosome and with a little bit of FOS. And in the children's version, one lozenge is 2 billion. So a 6 billion to 2 billion difference. Again, I feel about sometimes in our industry, less is more. I feel that's the case here. But, you know, it was in these studies and in the immunology, statistically reliable increase in the number of tonsillar cells producing IAG. So it increased that by 30% in these studies. And it increased the activity of natural cytotoxic tonsillar cells by 3.4 times. Now, why is lysosome in there? It's an enzyme used to lyse bacterial cells by hydrolyzing the peptidoglycan cell wall. So great as an antibacterial component. The only quote unquote potential side effect is taking too much can loosen the GI. And I think we've heard stories of that from other practitioners out there about lysosome. And I think you can attest to that. I don't mean to put Joe on the spot here, but Joe shared a great story that maybe you can segue into that eventually for us, Joe. But lysosome can loosen the GI. So again, less is more with this product. As we're talking about how effective this can be, it has a strong anti-candidal property. So remember what I talked about with Mayo Clinic and looking at their information on like valley fever, which is a fungus, and all the things that come in that port of entry, and how do we build that immune system and prevent things from further exacerbating. In a study, they showed 95% effectiveness against Candida albicans, 100% effectiveness actually against Candida tropicalis. That's an impressive result using an oral probiotic. There's a whole chart of antagonistic activity using this blend. I'll list a few of them for you just to put it into the picture of the broad spectrum of use you get out of a product like this. Citrobacter ferundi, Klebsiella pneumonia, Salmonella, Pseudomonas, Staphylococcus, all studies done in the ENT arena. So as we often think about lower GI probiotics, I would love for you to have this in your toolbox and to think of where is the port of entry often, how strong is that immune system, people with chronic infections. This is definitely, definitely a consideration to have for the practitioners listening in.
Daniel, you did an excellent job of detailing that. I just the fact of giving practitioners an additional perspective to think not just in the stomach, the small and large intestine, but many times you've got to think above that. You've got to think what is going on and what might be actually seeding where the manifestation of the problem is. And ear, nose, and throat, those are areas you have to consider. We've saved the best for last in this conversation and maybe up for debate, but we're going to talk about Saccharomyces boulardii. And Joe, we haven't heard much from you today, but we saved the best for last. So I want to turn this over to you because I know you've got some great content to share with us on what is truly a workhorse of an organism.
Well, you're definitely right. The Saccharomyces boulardii is definitely a workhorse of an organism. And Daniel, I love how you start the stories because really that's how I remember stuff is with stories. And I'm going to start out with one myself because this was a hairstylist that I go see, and I'm going to call her name Kim. But she shared with me for really the last couple of years how she was having extreme chronic diarrhea to the tune of 10 to 15 times a day. And her GI doctor diagnosed her as ulcerative colitis and recommended an antibiotic called mesalamine. And mesalamine is a medicine for ulcerative colitis and other types of inflammatory bowel disease. And it reduces inflammation. They don't know why. And she was on it for a couple of years, as well as some other trial medications. And it seemed to help a little bit, but the diarrhea was still present. And one of her clients had Crohn's disease. As a matter of fact, had several inches of her bowel removed, but she was still having severe watery stools every day. And so somebody told her to try some Saccharomyces boulardii, 500 milligrams twice a day, and she did. And literally her diarrhea stopped, much to her surprise. And right about that time, Kim's GI doctor decided to do a test that we're familiar with called calprotectin. And calprotectin is something that we use to evaluate inflammatory bowel disease, kind of when you go from the danger to the super danger situation. And we want to see optimal levels below 80. Well, her level was 800. And so once she saw that, she thought, this is not working. I've got to do something different. So she called her friend who had the Crohn's disease and said, what did you tell me what you did again? And she said, well, I went on this product called Saccharomyces boulardii, and I just took, a couple twice a day. And so she did, and lo and behold, in 3 days, her stools went from watery to completely firm. But what was really interesting, and what I thought was the most fascinating of all, is 3 weeks later, she went to go see her doctor, her GI specialist, and they did the calprotectin again. And lo and behold, it went down to 38. Now, that's profound to go from 800 inflammatory bowel disease to 38. Now, I didn't have anything to do with this. I mean, I'm just sharing a story with you, but it was just, it really got my attention to pay attention. And so I think it's something we all need to think about. So we all know that there's pharmaceutical antibiotics around. There's more and more natural antibiotics. And certainly we're getting antibiotics from our meat. The number one market for antibiotics is animals. So we're kind of getting getting inundated with it, and it's going to affect our gut. And for years, clinicians have suggested taking probiotics after antibiotics, and now more and more physicians are suggesting taking probiotics away from the antibiotics, but really on the same day. And so we want to limit bad bacteria, of course, but we also want to consider the various fungal species that normally exist in our gut, especially Candida albicans. It's in our gut all the time, but when it gets out of control, that's when it's the problem. So Saccharomyces boulardii, this is where it shines. This friendly yeast grows in the bowel, the large bowel. And what it does is it consumes food and the space, and it occupies kind of real estate. And the net result is that these pathogens can't really disrupt the eco-balance. Now, the beauty of Saccharomyces boulardii is that it achieves saturation concentrations in the colon within 3 days, but it doesn't colonize the intestinal tract. So when it's cleared from the, when you stop taking it, it's cleared in 2 to 5 days after discontinuing therapy. And so that's a wonderful adjunct to a product like this. Mechanistically, you know, we all inflammatory bowel diseases such as ulcerative colitis and, you know, Crohn's are characterized by perpetual production of inflammatory mediators. And what Saccharomyces boulardii does is secrete these soluble factors, and they've been shown to downregulate NF-kappa-B. We see NF-kappa-B going down. And it can, and as we know, NF-kappa-B can dramatically increase inflammation, really at a genetic level. So Saccharomyces also blocks the expression of various pro-inflammatory cytokines. It enhances the secretion of mucosal immune factors, which exert a barrier against bacteria. And again, we've been talking about tight junctions and how important it is. One of Saccharomyces boulardii's positive things is it increases the tight junctions. It supports tight junctions. So it's really has multiple benefits. And it's, again, something that you can take for three or 4 days and colonize your colon, and after you stop taking it, so it's a very safe product. Biotics Research Corporation makes a product that's 235 milligrams. The suggested dose is 1-3 times a day. We should note that anytime you start adding probiotics, and Saccharomyces boulardii is a probiotic, you're going to be changing the environment of your gut, and so it can cause gas. And so we want to make sure patients know and doctors know that it's okay to modulate the dosage based on the amount of gas produced, and it's a normal thing. So not to be afraid of that. So if your patients are plagued with intestinal inflammation, leaky gut, or reduced secretory IgA, we want to consider Saccharomyces boulardii, and especially when people are taking either natural or pharmaceutical antibiotics.
Joe, no doubt you've certainly detailed why we started off saying that Saccharomyces boulardii is a workhorse. I wanted to provide a real-world example, if you don't mind, in relation to the benefit of Saccharomyces boulardii. If practitioners have ever run up against norovirus or rotaviruses, two pathogenic organisms, these are very nasty viruses. And if you contract one of these viruses, you should pretty well assume that for roughly an 8 to 10 day course, you want to be pretty close to the bathroom, because you can just look at food and you're probably going to be dumping your bowels. They're very nasty viruses to deal with. And I have observed on several occasions now being able to cut that 8 to 10 day course in half with using Saccharomyces boulardii and ImmunoGGSBI, which is a product that we talked about prior. But it just simply illustrates that even with viruses that are as pathogenic as those two are, that the addition of Saccharomyces boulardii can still be such an aid. And when you think about symptoms that severe and it's just a complete disruption of your life, being able to take something that is typically a 10-day course and bring it down to 5 and get 5 days of your life literally back, yes, sign me up for Saccharomyces boulardii. So thank you for sharing all that information about that.
You're welcome.
So in today's podcast, we've taken a look at options that support from the stomach to the large intestine. Each of these products provides you with another tool in your clinician tool belt. As a practitioner, you have the confidence to know that regardless of the patient presentation, you have an option. Moreover, backed by years of research and clinical application, the options shared with you today will keep you poised for success with your patients for years to come. If you're looking for additional information or any of the products or resources mentioned in today's show, please reach out to your local representative or the home office. In closing, I want to thank Joe and Daniel for their willingness to share their time and experience to help us all become more versed in the appropriate application of biotics research products. We all appreciate you being a part of today's podcast and hope you will join us again for another episode of the Wellness Unfiltered Pro podcast.